You know, I'm sitting here, oh God, send a revival. Why? Well, you know, you're God. Why? Is it for your glory? Is it for my glory? Is it to build your church? Is it to build my church? Why do you want revival? What are you really saying to me? What do you want to see happen? What are you asking me about? I have to search my soul. And in doing so, you know, in that process, as we begin to bring our requests before God, why do you really want this? And God, as the Holy Spirit begins to search our soul and call our motives out, we begin to see ourselves in a different light, and we are transformed by that process. Our prayers, check this out, our prayers are transformed. You know, like, what's the difference between regular gas and high octane? One's junkier than the other, right? One just, you know, it burns kind of, eh. The other is like high test. You stick that in the car, man, it explodes. All kinds of power because it's been purified all the more. You know, a lot of us are praying, you know, 87 octane prayers, myself included. We do a lot of regular gas praying. God wants to make our prayers high octane. And that transformation process that happens as we prevail in prayer with God, as we spend that time in His presence, our motives become purer. We learn how to pray purer prayers, more Spirit-led prayers. And so we pray higher octane prayers as we go along. We grow as prayer warriors. We start out little wimpy, you know, Spider-Man wannabe prayer warriors, you know, but after we spend our life in prayer in the presence of God, we become real, true warriors for God in prayer. And our prayers are high octane prayers that do great and mighty things that we hadn't even imagined they could do. But we have to go through that process. It's not McDonald's, man. It's the prayer closet. There's a difference. We want fast food. God wants to give us a feast that takes time to prepare. Wrestling with God. Jacob wrestled all night with God. He said, I won't let you go until you bless me. And God did bless him, but you know what? Jacob was changed in the process. Something happened inside of Jacob that made him a different creature. He walked different. God took his hip out of joint. But if you prevail in prayer with God and spend that time, you'll walk different too. You will be a humbler person. There will be less of you and more of Jesus in the process. And that's what God wants to do, man. Praise God. Less of John D'Souza, more of Jesus Christ. Make me more transparent. Shine through me. Praise God. You know, Scripture says that God is able. God is able. God is able. He is truly able. Remember this. He is. God is what?
Able.
He is able. God is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we can ask or imagine. Do you know the rest? According to the power or in accordance with, or to the degree in which His power is at work in us. In accordance with His power at work in us. So the more power, the more of His power that is at work, alive, churning, and streaming, and pouring through us, the greater He is able to do, exceedingly above all we can ask or imagine, through us. I mean, God, sure, God's God. He can snap His fingers and just fold up the universe. Bam, you know, here it is. Now it's gone. Here it is again. You know, but He wants to work through His church. That's why He gave us the Holy Ghost, so that He could do great and mighty things through us. And He can do more than we can even ask or imagine, but in accordance to the power that is at work in us. How much of His power is at work in us? Are we filled with His power, or are we filled with the things of this world? I want to be filled with high octane, man. I want the high-performance racing engine operating in this bad boy. I want to see it all. I don't want, you know, a little trickle of the power of God. Psst, psst, psst. I want, excuse me, surging through me. God does that in prayer. He purifies our heart, makes our prayers more powerful. Finally, thank you guys for being patient. Wrestling with ourselves, wrestling with God, wrestling with the enemy. You remember Rick Day? Used to be an elder in our church. Man, Rick Day would do some spiritual warfare. He would wrestle with principalities and powers in prayer. He would have dreams where demons would sometimes come to him, and he would have to cast them out or bind them or rebuke them. That man was a man of prayer. I remember, and I've probably told this story before, but you know, he was a drummer, and he's the drummer in our band years ago. And we were supposed to go out to this gig, and Everybody's like, where's Rick, man? And Rick was late. He was like 20 minutes late. We're all like, where's Rick? And then, you know, next thing we know, we're like, well, I know, we know where Rick is. He's probably wrestling some demon somewhere. He's probably casting some devil out a window somewhere, wrestling or something like that. Well, about 5 minutes later, who shows up? Rick Day. He comes walking in, and do you know, he says, guys, I'm sorry I was late, but I was wrestling with these. I was wrestling in prayer with these demons. Man, these things came. I had some spiritual oppression, and God just called me to pray and cast that thing out. And we started busting up laughing because sure enough, that's exactly what he was doing, wrestling against the enemy in prayer. That was a man of prayer. Any of you guys ever wrestle with the enemy? When I began to organize my notes for this, God gave me a vision. He showed me like the city of Jericho. High wall, fortified, impregnable, highly fortified with, you know, artillery and weapons and guns and soldiers and all this kind of stuff. And you know what he said? These are the strongholds that are in our people's lives. And you know what? I believe with all my heart that even among us, there are some strongholds in our life that we would love for the God to bust up and cast down. That as much progress as we have made and as much glory as we have seen, there are some things in our life that the enemy is able to trip us up, knock us down off our feet sometimes, and there are strongholds that God just wants to really set us free. He wants to bust those walls down and set us into the glorious liberty of the children of God. You know, those walls will come down. Those walls can come down, but they come down in prayer, wrestling with the enemy. Every time we are in prayer and we're coming against the enemy and the power of the Holy Spirit, and God puts a burden on our heart to pray for someone or some condition or some stronghold in somebody's life, and we begin to come against that in the Holy Spirit's power, it's like a sledgehammer hammering against those walls. Every time we just come against that, man, it's like swinging the sledgehammer again. Bam, bam. You know, a sledgehammer just doesn't take the whole thing down in one swing. It takes it out a chunk at a time. And that's sometimes how we have to break through those strongholds, is a chunk at a time. We have to prevail until that whole thing is on the ground in dust. You know, a little lukewarm short prayer that we throw up there, dear God, you know, so-and-so is you know, just, you know, in the depths of a struggle with alcoholism, please help him in Jesus' name. Amen. Hey, what's for dinner? That's like throwing a stone at Jericho. I mean, there's nothing wrong with it. It's wonderful, you know, and I don't want to put down just, you know, short prayers. They can be wonderful things, you know, especially if we only have a little bit of time and we go ahead and give that to God. That's wonderful. But you know what? It can't compare to really getting on your face, to turn off the TV, getting literally down on your knees and bending over a chair or a couch and saying, God, it's you and me. Let's spend some time. We're going to tear this stronghold down. It breaks my heart. It rips my heart out to see this person that I love dearly and deeply so beset by sin, so chained up and bound up in their life that they can't even function. And I am going to sit here and do business with God until I get a witness in the Spirit that He has broken through that thing. And to commit ourselves to that and seek His face and literally prevail in prayer with God till His Holy Spirit says in our hearts, man, you're breaking through. Keep going. You're breaking through. You're busting it up. Go for it. And lay a hold of that victory in the Spirit. That's what's going to set people free. And I know it's hard in our Western minds to lay a hold of that, but that's the secret. That is real prevailing prayer. Praying through till you get that witness in your spirit. You don't have to be, you don't have to be a Billy Graham, man. You can just be a dude. You can just be, you know, just be a young lady from Centerville. Praise God. Charles Finney, I'll close with this. It's very short. I'll just close with this. Charles Finney, I said, was one of the greatest evangelists of the Second Great Awakening. Man would walk into a factory and people would start falling on their face with conviction. Walk in the door, man. People start crying and stuff. I don't know what's wrong, but man, you know, I got to get my life together. I need God as an anointed man. Charles Finney knew how to prevail in prayer. You read his testimony. He went out in the woods to pray. Said he was going to pray and pray and pray until he knew he was saved. And so he did. He spent a few hours out in the woods. He got saved. He went back to his house, and that night, He just had a spirit of prayer on him, so he started praying some more. The next thing you know, the Holy Spirit came down and baptized him with such power, he thought he was going to die. He said it was like electricity surging through my whole body. He talks about a woman that he knew who prevailed in prayer for revival in her area, in her region. So it's just a little old lady out in the sticks, you know, some, you know, little woodsy place, some nowhereville, USA, probably out in West Virginia somewhere, on the side of a mountain or something. Little old lady, little frail little thing. This is what he wrote. He said, you know, the churches in that area were just, they were like in darkness. There was no life in them. There was no power of God in them. They needed revival so desperately, it just was tragic. And he said, the first ray of light that broke in upon the darkness and midnight that rested on the churches in Oneida County in 1825 was from a woman in feeble health who I believe had never been in a powerful revival. Her soul was exercised for sinners. In other words, man, she was in agony. She was burdened for people who were lost. She was in agony for the land. She did not know what ailed her, but she kept praying more and more till it seemed as if her agony would destroy her body. At length, she became full of joy and exclaimed, God has come! God has come! There's no mistake about it. The work has begun, and it's going all over the region. And sure enough, the work began, and her family, almost all of them were converted, and the work spread all over that part of the country. Now, do you think that woman was deceived? I tell you, no. She knew she had prevailed with God in prayer. She travailed in birth for souls, and she knew it. Something happened inside of that woman that said it was done. Something took place inside of her. You don't have to be some famous great person to prevail in prayer with God. You can just be some guy or some girl who happens to take prayer serious enough to really go for it. And if you may not be famous in this world, but if you're famous in heaven, man, you've got some serious power in your hands. If you're famous with God, if you're known in heaven and in hell, because when you really prevail in prayer with God, man, you'll rattle the cage in hell too. Serious up. Praise God. I remember the demon in Acts, I forget what chapter. This guy's tried to cast him out, these non-believers tried to cast this demon out of this guy in the name of Jesus. And he said, Paul I know, and Jesus I know, but who are you? And he thrashed him so bad they ran out of the house naked. Praise God. Are you known in heaven? Are you known in hell? Are you a prayer warrior? Do you prevail in prayer until God sends the witness of the Holy Spirit that you have broken through? Amen. Praise God. Well, I'm looking forward to having some more prayer meetings here. Man, I don't know about you guys. I was thrilled. I was thrilled to see that sun come up that night when we prayed all night in prayer. I want to do that more often, man. I'm just going to go ahead and just start praying. And I tell you what, if anybody ever wants to join me, you ever just feel like coming in sometime and say, hey, can we spend some time in prayer together? Come on in, man. We'll pray. We'll just pray, you know? Praise God. Do you have strongholds in your life that you want to see torn down? Is there anything you've been butting your head up against that seems like for years and it just won't move? And you wonder, God, will it ever come? Will I ever break through? This room you're sitting in now, couldn't be able to get in here. There was a wall where that door is back there. We built this place, but it wasn't finished. And so there was a wall to prevent people from just walking in here. And my heart used to ache for that wall to come down because it seemed like it would go on and on. I believe that when we built this place, God was going to move in here in a mighty way, and we were really going to see the hand of God. And I remember every time I saw that wall still sitting in that place, man, it mocked me. It just mocked me. And I was like, man, I'm sorry. This wall is coming down. I'm just going to pray and pray and pray until I see God knock that thing down. And when that wall finally came down and we came into here and ordained this as a place, a house of worship, a place for worship, my heart was thrilled. And because it came down, you set your face like a stone. So I don't know what you guys have on your hearts right now. I know you guys very well, and I'm delighted to know you guys. But there may be things that you have in your heart that you just wish to God that you could break through with, man. If you ever, I would love to pray with you anytime, right now or whenever it is. In fact, we would love to gather around you and pray together about that thing. So if you want to pray right now, while God's people are here gathered together, feel free to come on forward, man. We'll go to God in prayer about that thing. And we'll stay till the Holy Spirit says stop. If not, that's okay too, man. We'll just worship God. We'll go out of here worshiping God. Praise God. Mark, why don't you come on up, brother? Yeah, come on up here and grab your acoustic guitar. Maybe just lead us in worship as we go out of here. And while Mark is leading us, if there's anything you want to pray about, anything you'd like prayer for, man, we got the oil up here. God's got the oil up there, man. Let's pray. Let's knock that wall down, whatever it happens to be.